Welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 43, Good Old-Fashioned Work. Show notes for this episode are available at gettingworktowork.com/43. You ready to get into this topic? Let's get started. I love reading. To me, it is the search for what I do not have. Lately, I've been reading Tim Ferriss's latest Tools of Titans, Thomas Friedman's Thank You for Being Late, Why I Write by George Orwell, and Book 12 of a comic book series called Chew by John Layman and Rob Guillory. I'm not sure what I'm searching for right now, but I've been fascinated with Ferriss's writings on wealth and wisdom, but this hasn't always been the case. For years, I wanted to discover the one thing I knew I should be doing as a creative professional. I read books, blogs, the comments section, a well-timed sign on the side of the road. I wanted to find out who I was. I wanted to be different before I even did my work. I wanted to stand apart. I wanted all of my interests and passions to make sense and be perfectly distilled into a single and simple phrase that perfectly explained to anyone listening exactly who I was. I listened to anyone who had the chance to tell me what they saw. I changed who I was to fit their analysis and got even more confused. And I lost sight of what was most important, which was my individuality and the role I played in society. But a funny thing happened over time. I got tired of trying to figure out what other people thought and just got to work. Good old-fashioned work. Not always physical in nature, but a good balance between intellect and emotion. With the occasional foray into setting up and tearing down equipment for video shoots. When I'm busy, I forget all of the one thing nonsense because deadlines are nearing and clients are calling. There are people who need what I have to offer, and I can't meet their needs if I'm trapped in my own head. There is nothing theoretical about life and business when you're busy. And when you're busy, you have two choices. You get the job done or you fail. And for me, failure is not really my desired outcome. So what am I searching for? I think in many ways, I'm searching for the combination or reconciliation of knowledge work, that which is entirely driven by intellect and emotion, with a sense of physical labor or tactile nature or humanity. And it's hard when that's a website or a video or when it's something entirely digital. But even the most digital product still has its roots in humanity because there is the creator, like me or other creative professionals, and then there's the audience, the people that take in what someone has made and interact with it in some way. So I've been thinking a lot about good old-fashioned work and the skills I rely upon when I find myself so busy that I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing. I'm just simply doing it. And for now, I've come up with 9 important skills and areas that even though there are probably even more hiding outside of my desire for reflection and identification, these 9 skills and areas are something that I rely upon in those moments of pursuing good old-fashioned work. First, deadlines. Nothing pushes a creative professional more than deadlines. Now, I could talk about what happens when you don't have deadlines, but I'm going to talk a little bit about what happens when we do have deadlines. Deadlines remind us that we are human, especially the closer we get to a deadline. We start losing sleep and we feel the irritability of being without basic human needs for a period of time. We hone our ability to strip away what is important based upon a different skill. Intuition. And it is in these moments where we refine and reconnect with what we know. Without deadlines, we would miss so many opportunities on discovering who we are and what we know, because we rely upon really just intuition and gut instinct to make decisions. Second, communication. I was talking with a friend recently, and the subject of communication came up, and she asked, why don't creative professionals communicate well all the time? And we got on a really good subject of just why communication is important. And it's because our clients can't read our minds, and the better we communicate, the better we're able to really connect what is going on in our creative centers with the people that need to know what's going on. And without good communication, we lose the opportunity to really work at the level of quality that I think most of us want. Third, focus. I love social media and email, but I find that when I'm working, those are major distractions. And I know there are numerous things that I've read about the importance of switching off email or not checking email first thing in the morning or staying off social media when you're trying to be productive. And those things don't really work for me. But what does work for me is realizing that when I'm trying to work, I need to close the email program. And I need to focus, because it's when I focus that I really allow myself to really connect with my instinct and to connect with the fact that I need to be making decisions faster, and that I can't be making decisions if I'm worrying about what's coming in or if I'm going to miss something on social. Fourth, problem solving. What do you do when something isn't working out as you expected it to? For me, this is when problem solving is an asset, because it's no longer some hypothetical scenario of what could happen, but it has entered reality and it is happening. It needs to be solved immediately. And this puts you in touch with, again, like deadlines, with what you know and what you don't know. And problem solving really is an identification of you didn't know something, you made an assumption, and you tried a solution, and it didn't work. And so now you've got to quickly try something else. Problem solving is something that really pushes you to grow in a different way. And problem solving is something that really happens on the fly. Recently, I was on a shoot where I was having some reflections in glasses, and I just couldn't nail it. And it forced me to realize that I didn't have the answer to this problem, and I needed to reach out to someone else who's going to assist me in solving this problem on the fly. Fifth, critical thinking. This seems to be a phrase that everyone uses in conversations, and we all assume everyone means it the same way when we use it. So I went hunting down some answers, and criticalthinking.org has a brief history of critical thinking and kind of summed it up over thousands of years of research in this following quote. Critical thinking, by its very nature, requires, for example, the systematic monitoring of thought. That thinking to be critical must not be accepted at face value, but must be analyzed and assessed for its clarity, accuracy, relevance, depth, breadth, and logicalness. Critical thinking, by its very nature, requires, for example, the recognition that all reasoning occurs within points of view and frames of reference, that all reasoning proceeds from some goals and objectives, has an informational base, that all data, when used in reasoning, must be interpreted, that interpretation involves concepts, that concepts entail assumptions, and that all basic inferences and thought have implications. When it comes to good old-fashioned work, critical thinking really, to me, is knowing that my thoughts can't be the truth. That there's going to be things that I'm assuming, and there's going to be consequences to my thinking. And this is where all of the prior skills lead to. Deadlines really reflect how we're thinking and whether we're thinking in a critical manner or not. Communication allows us to refine our thinking and to identify where we are coming up short. Focus shows me whether I'm relying upon something easy, some easy solution, or if I'm really taking the time to think deeply about what it is that I must be thinking about. Problem solving really identifies whether I'm going the easy road and just making so many assumptions that I'm not truly thinking for myself, or if I'm taking the time to be critical of my thinking. Sixth, research to understand. There is time for research and learning new things. And a lot of times when I'm researching to understand, I'm not just passively going through tutorials or passively searching new programming languages or things that aren't ultimately going to help me on a current project. But when I'm researching to understand, I'm looking to overcome the barriers that I have in a specific project. There's something that I'm not grasping that I need to learn in order to apply to a project. And no tutorial is really going to unlock some skill that I haven't had yet unless I am applying it to something that I'm trying to learn and know. Seventh, I have to break stuff. It's important to learn new techniques by watching and following along with tutorials, but in order to truly understand how something does and does not work, it's vital to break it. And what that means is if I'm coding something, I'm going to learn more from an error than if it worked or not. And there are certain web technologies where even if something isn't correct, it could still be working. And so breaking stuff to the point where I'm going to see a problem or see an error has more information than if something works. Now, eighth is not necessarily a skill, but it's something that when I am engaged in good old-fashioned work, I'm less focused on. And its inspiration is for amateurs. Chuck Close, who was a photorealistic painter who had to reteach himself how to paint after suffering from a spinal artery collapse, had this to say: inspiration is for amateurs. The rest of us just show up and get to work. If you wait around for the clouds to part and a bolt of lightning to strike you in the brain, you are not going to make an awful lot of work. All the best ideas come out of the process. They come out of the work itself. I know for me, this has been reflected in my own work. The more I work, the less I think and worry about whether my work is good enough. The more I focus on process, the more I learn and the deeper my learning becomes, and the more I can rely upon instinct and intuition when deadlines are there looking me in the face. Ninth, and finally, I need to have a community of collaborators. Because without a community, one can easily get lost in their own head. And it's something that I see in successful students in college. They have people that they're working with together to work through challenges. And it's when I'm most successful is when I'm reaching out to other creative professionals and asking questions and trying to work through my own ignorance and to try to scrape away the arrogance that I have when I stay trapped in my own head and listen to my own lies of how great I am. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Feel free to share this podcast with your friends and other creative professionals. Subscribe on iTunes and never miss an episode. Keep in touch by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on most social networks. I'm at CM Studios or at GWTW Podcast on Twitter, at Chris Martin Studios on Facebook, and at CM Studios on Instagram. Stay connected with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for my weekly email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab, at thecuriositylab.net. I hope this episode has inspired you to focus on just pursuing good old-fashioned work. Now get out there and get to work.